Turn in your Bibles to the book of Judges, Judges and chapter number 7. I certainly love these accounts in the Bible, and I just love the battles. I love the wars in the Bible, and just growing up as a kid, and just certainly got my interest. But Judges chapter number 7, no doubt many in this room would be familiar with it. May not point out anything new, and my goal is just to preach what's here. And Judges chapter number 7, if you're able, let's stand as we read, and we'll start reading from verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, for I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, Every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand, and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley." We'll stop right there. And the title of the message tonight is 300 is Plenty. I think God was bringing Gideon along this process to show to Gideon, but also to Israel as well, that God himself was sufficient. God himself was sufficient, and God is still today sufficient for your battle. And your giant army that lay before you, God is sufficient for the battle, so we can trust the Lord. Just the definition of the word plenty means a full or adequate supply. Another definition is a large or sufficient amount, more than enough. And again, the title of the message is 300 is Plenty. And I think if we were to interview and ask Gideon here at the beginning of chapter number 1, chapter 7, verse 1, would 300 men, would that be enough to go up against this mighty army of the Midianites? I don't think Gideon's answer would have been, yeah, that's more than enough. But I think at the end of the account here, Gideon comes to the place and recognizing because God is in it, because God, it's plenty. And so here we see the situation here, and chapter number 6, God calls Gideon, God points out Gideon, you're the man, I want you, thou mighty man of valor, you know, the man hiding in the wine press, and God saw him for not what he was, but what he could be through the working of God. God called him, God directed and showed. And so here now as Israel is beginning to, they've gathered their mighty army here of 32,000 men, and they're here up against this massive army of Midian, and God is showing Gideon, but God is showing Israel that it's not about the size of the army that matters, but the strength of their God. And so here, as I love it in the scripture when the scripture gives the interpretation here clearly for us. In verse number 2, God explains to us why he did this. In verse 2, it says, And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. So God is bringing Israel to a position in this text where within no logical conclusion could Israel say, we did this. But God is bringing Israel to a position where there is absolutely no condition where they can say, yep, we did this. With trumpets, pitchers, and lamps up against a mighty army, we delivered against the Midianite army. No, that's foolishness. That's craziness. God is bringing Israel to that point in the beginning of chapter number 7 to the conclusion that we know that God delivered the Israelites here not with swords and spears, but by the working of God. And so here Israel comes to this position. Here's Gideon, just in his position, kind of as the general of the army here. And God tells Gideon here, in verse number 3, he says, now therefore go to, in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And the return of the people, 20,000, and the remain 10,000. So here again, the situation, back in chapter number 6 and in chapter number 7 as well, the Bible describes it, the Midianite army, as grasshoppers for multitude, meaning that there's a whole bunch of them. Up again, and just here's the children of Israel, now not 32,000, God says you got 10,000 now. And just here in this situation, I used to think of this passage as kind of two groups here, here's the children of Israel, and one group is fearful and afraid, and here's these other 10,000 mighty warriors. But I don't think the text doesn't say in verse number 3 that the 10,000 didn't have fears. Think about it here with me. They're still humans. There's still a real army on the other side, and down in the valley, the Midianites there. But there's a difference between fear that says we can't, and fear says we can't, but God can. There's a difference between fear that comes to a halt and says, oh, we can't do this, and fear that says that, well, God's promised the way. Let's go. The Bible doesn't say that they didn't have fears, but rather, as I approach this text and our position as well, sometimes people ask, well, do you have fears about going to the other side of the world and bringing your family there? Well, of course. Just the fact that I'm human, I'm just a man, but I know that God's promised. That God's called us to go and God's delivered, and I can see God's handiwork along the way. And so there's a difference between fear that says, no, we need to go home. We got farms back in Israel. We got families there, and we just need to provide for our own. I just see this example of faith here within this text as well. But God's not finished with Israel even at this point. God continues to bring Israel, and verse number 4 and verse number 5, verse 4, God says the people are yet too many. And tells Gideon, I want you to bring them down to the water there. And basically he tells him, anyone that goes down to the water and drinks as a dog lappeth, he's disqualified. Those that aren't prepared, those that aren't mindful for the battle and the army that is out there, they're not qualified for the battle. So now Israel's down to 300 men, and just within this situation, again, God is bringing Israel to this point to show Israel that there is no possible way that Gideon did this, there's no possible way that the army did this, but only that God did this. See, we have plenty of evidence before us as well that our God is faithful. And I love the verse there in Hebrews 11, verse number 19, talking about Abraham. It says, accounting that God was able to raise him up, talking about Isaac, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Accounting just means to take into inventory. You know, all that Abraham knew of God, and just within that visual, to take into inventory and to look on all the things that God had done in Abraham's life. And just accounting and recognizing that God was able to raise Isaac up in that situation, and God is most certainly able to help you in your situation. Skip down to verse number 9 with me. So now here again, there's 300 men of Israel, and here's Gideon. And again, at the end of chapter number 6, and just prior to that, again, God had called Gideon. God had very much made it clear to Gideon, but Gideon was still human again. Gideon lacked faith, just as you and I would lack faith. Because the army is still real. The swords were real. And just here as they're at this situation, and at the end of chapter number 6, Gideon asked the Lord for the fleece, and God provided through that, not once, but twice. But God even showed Gideon a third sign that Gideon didn't even ask for. In verse number 9, God tells Gideon, and he says, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. God's telling Gideon, I want you to go up and go down to the host, and I'm going to prove to you that I've delivered it. Just delivered it. Just all the doing is on God. God had shown Gideon that it's the same word as in Numbers chapter number 13, where there was another group of people that God had given a land to. And God had provided the Canaan land, and they come up against a group of giants and say, no, God can't do that. Those giants are too tall. But God, just as they had lack of faith there, God is showing Gideon and Israel here that God is able to deliver them. Verse number 10, God tells him, if you fear go down with Phurah thy servant unto the host. And so here's Gideon and Phurah. If you imagine them, they're on this hillside of Gilead, and they're walking down into the valley where the Midianites are. And down in the valley, they sneak up against this tent. And they just so happen to hear a couple men talking about a dream, and they just so happen to hear them talk about a cake of barley bread rolling down, and just this report of a dream, and just this situation where in verse number 13 it says the barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Can you imagine in that situation you're Gideon? You hear this report and this dream. God allowed Gideon to hear this dream that Gideon would have faith and trust within God. And God was bringing Israel to this point to show that his power was sufficient for the victory. It wasn't anything about the size of the army, whether the size was big or small. But God was bringing Israel to this point. And even as in my own journey, as the Lord was directing us towards missions, and we were praying about Cambodia, and the Lord just brought me to here in Judges 7:15. And I want you to recognize this, that there's times in our lives where we all should be seeking the Lord's will and what He wants us to do. But God wants you to know His will. I said God wants you to know His will, and God is able to make that very clear in your life. And so here's Gideon. He's seeking what God wants him to do, and God did make that very clear to him. But it's very, very important. Lord showed me two responses by Gideon here in this text. The first thing is that when Gideon knew the Lord's will, he bowed on his knees and worshiped God. recognizing that God was worthy, Gideon was unworthy. And just even in ministry as well. I'm certainly not worthy of anything that the Lord would call me to, but He is worthy. And we should just simply humbly seek the Lord and follow Him. But also in verse number 15 as well, it says that Gideon returned unto the host of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." See, what Gideon did was he acknowledged the presence of the Lord and worshiped the Lord, but then he responded in action. And when God has clearly revealed His will, you can move forward in confidence. And you, when God has revealed what He wants you to do, you have no reason for delay. There's no reason to drag your feet on and wondering, well, I know God's done this, but the time just isn't right. That's not your decision to make. If God has clearly said what He wants you to do, we should just simply respond in obedience. You see, we could be in a situation of just dragging our feet, and that's certainly wrong, and delaying what God has called you to do. Or you could be in a position of going too fast and being hasty, and that's wrong as well. But God has a perfect time, and He'll make that very clear to you if you follow His will. God was just continually bringing Israel along this point to show that His strength was sufficient for victory. And even just as I just kind of, just in the illustration of if we were to sit down and interview Gideon at verse number one, I don't think that Gideon would come to the place of recognizing Gideon is 300 men enough. I don't think he would be at that place, but I'm very confident that he would be at this place in verse number 15. In fact, I believe he would say, I don't think we need anybody. Just even God had showed Israel that years prior. How many soldiers did God need to destroy the Egyptian army at the Red Sea? None. It wasn't about the army. It was just about God. And Gideon finally comes to the place, and sometimes God can finally break through our hard heads and get us to the place to recognize God's will, but we must simply follow in obedience. Because it's not about us, it's not any talents and abilities that we may have, but it's about our good and gracious God working through us. May the Lord just continue to help us to honor and glorify Him. It's not about you or I, it's just about what He can do through us. God can use you. Just follow in obedience, follow in submission to His will.